So, Father, let this morning be for your glory. Let this time slot bring joy to the body of Christ as we go forward in obedience. Amen? You know, I shared with you guys a little bit earlier of some of the things that God was doing with me yesterday. And this morning, as I went to the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, what do you want? And all I heard was Matthew 19, so that's where we're going to go. And there was a press on 2 points. And it was on the beginning of it, which highlights in the NIV about divorce. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the regions of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them all. Some Pharisees came to him to test him, and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" Verse 4 is in red. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." They question. "Why then," they ask, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" And Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery." And the disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." And he replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given." I would stress that reality. Only to those that it has been given. Which shuts off all this comparing stuff that a lot of people push. Oh, they should be doing that. Ah, this one should do. That one should do. It's mind your own business. Whatever God has given to them, let it be for God's glory. And some of them are loaded with weaknesses. Okay? And God knows about those weaknesses. Amen? Doesn't God know about yours and mine? He knows about the others as well. And he doesn't get bent out of shape. So, for some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men. And others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. And one who can accept this should accept it. So there are some that are designed by God to do a certain thing. But I want to back it up to the very first part of this reply. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because of your hearts were hard. I can remember having an argument with a legalistic person who said, divorce, blah, 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 blah. And I reminded them of this scripture. I says, if men's hearts were hardened in the day of Moses, has anything changed? Because I see your head shaking. Nothing has changed. And even in the body of Christ. Now, if you remember when the Israelites crossed the Jordan, okay, Moses was left behind. But the ways of men have stayed the same. Okay? Hardened hearts are still operating today. Okay? So permitted divorce happens because of hardened hearts. I know some in my own family who got a divorce because of a hardened heart. "I will not forgive anymore," were the words. And the Lord said, "Shut up. Don't say a word. Because you're going to create a new problem. They're going to end up angry with you. Can't you see the heart is hardened? So there are times that people's hearts get hard. And God is the one that knows how to make that heart new. Confirming the word. Yes, I sensed the presence of the Lord at one point when I first sat back down. And I knew He was here. So I'm blessed by the confirming vision. But I'm trying to tell you something. He touches hearts to what? Why would He touch people's hearts? Yes, to soften things up. Harden hearts against whoever. Not God. The multiple ways of the Father to soften us up. To make us flexible. And you know what? We can't do it ourselves. How many would like to patch themselves up and do a good job? And I hate to say it, but I've tried and it doesn't work. Patching me up, it's a lot better to get a brand new creation. Okay? So, verse 13. The little children were brought to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Logic. Leave the master alone. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when He had placed His hands on them, He went on from there. Now, yesterday, at the wedding, I shared with you the week before at Andy and Heather's wedding that Heather had trained Andy's niece, the youngest one, to sing. And she took the microphone and she sang for Andy and Heather. Well, yesterday, she went to the front and she grabbed that microphone with the help of John and Lynn's little girl. And they were both standing up together, dressed up like the bride, of course. And they both sang to the bride and groom the same song, which was very precious. And as I was watching this duplicate, you know, everything was like, okay, God, you're doubling. You're making it confirmed. You know, you're pushing buttons here. And I was excited. I was excited because of what I believe went on in the realm of the Spirit. And this little girl is so vibrant, so alive. Okay? And some would say, well, she's too alive. No, she's not. She's fully alive. And I would love to tell you that, you know, when you see children come alive for God and sing for the name of the Lord, and there were many that sang in Nana's native language, and they sang to her, and she sang with them, and it was a joyful moment yesterday. Okay? It was awesome. And you know, when you read the scripture, when you go to the wedding, you're supposed to have wedding garments. Well, I got a new description of wedding garments. I've never been to a wedding down in southern New Jersey, or anywhere in New Jersey, to be honest. But these folks that came up from that church, I mean, I can tell you those ladies were dressed. They went out shopping. And they didn't spare daddy's pocketbook or mama's or whoever. I mean, they were dressed. I mean, there was every color of the rainbow, and there was every, what are they called, the baubles? Bling! Lots of bling, yes. Lots and lots of bling. And you know what? They were dressed to make it look good. And to make themselves presentable. To make themselves adorned for the bride and groom. And I said, Lord, you know that scripture that says, unless you're dressed up, you're not going in there? I said, woohoo! This is really a new level for me. And it was good. It was very good. So I want you to know, the next verse, 16. Because this young rich ruler is also very related to today's realm. A man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life? So he's looking for Jesus, but he's looking from a different standpoint. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Well, which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, etc. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And all these I have kept, he said. What do I still lack? I love the part that he's looking deeper. Deeper. What do I still lack? In other words, I'm doing all what the commandments say. I'm doing my best. What am I still missing? Why does he know there's something missing? There has to be a stirring inside of him. There has to be something that's pushing this guy's buttons. Because otherwise he wouldn't be asking that question. What else do I need? Because he's got something that he's aware of that the law has not given him. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect. Ah, I love it. If you want to be perfect. So perfection is going to do something that nobody else can do. And there's a solution to it. Go sell your possessions and give it to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven. Then, come follow me. And we know the results. But for those who don't know, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, I want to go back to the young man. He walks away sad because of his great wealth, and he doesn't want to give up his position. He's already seen his own heart, and God has already showed it to him, and Jesus confirms it, but he can't do what is required, basically, on his own. Because the Lord said you've got to choose to act. And there are times in your life that your emotions are going to pull you away. But there's a choice that you've been able to maybe grasp and see. Oh my God. This is something I cannot do, I don't want to do, but I know I must if I want to change my inner man. How many know what I'm talking about? It's a knowing on the inside that only you and God can know together, and when you go forward by choice, the Holy Spirit will come in and make you into that perfected person. Male or female, doesn't matter. That perfected person is one where all the things that are temporary are that. Temporary. They're here for a season, and you're here for a season. And there's a purpose in why you need to give it up. And it's not always money, it's not always position, but sometimes it is. And you need to pull back, and you need to obey to the best of your ability. And you know what? If you can't obey, if you're running the other direction, cry out to Jesus. Lord, I don't want to run in the wrong direction. Help me. And by the Holy Ghost, he will take his time and heal that which is causing you to run in the other direction. And he will heal you. He will literally do it. Because he loves you. You know, the best thing that I can tell you when you have a place where you're blocked, cry out. Cry out, I can't do it. I don't even want to do it, Lord. Admit your disability. Admit your failure. Admit your sin. Admit your selfishness. Whatever it is. Admit it to him. And then lay it on the altar. And watch what he does. And you know what? He's not incapable of healing your emotions. How many have problems with emotions? We all do. You know, we, every single one of us, oh, I got angry the other day. Why? Because something irritated me. And I wanted to get a pound of flesh. Of course, that never happens to you guys, but... Okay, 2 pounds? Okay. Maybe it's buy one, get one free. Couldn't resist that one. Okay. Let's go a little deeper. Peter, verse 27, answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" So Peter is showing his true colors. Amen? Is it good to see yourself? Yes, it is. Now, do you like to see yourself? No, at least not me. Because when I saw the levels of selfishness and the selfish motivation or my desire to help somebody out and they don't want help. Did you ever find that? I mean, I know what they're doing wrong. I've already done it 300 times. I know that Jesus can set them free. And they don't want him. They don't want him. They want it their way. They want it the way that they've always done it. Leave my traditions. I'm so comfortable in them. I love my traditions. Don't bug me. Can you relate? Then cry out for them. You can't change them, but God can. What is the intercession of the priesthood? Take on their sin. When you see their mistake, oh my God, Lord, they're so selfish. What do I do? Well, good heavens, why can't you stand in the gap? Why can't you stand in the gap? Why can't you pick up their sin? You are the one that eyes are open. Amen? If your eyes are open, what are you going to do? You're going to do something. Amen? I don't believe for one second that that young ruler walked away and stayed away. I believe he was one of those, maybe possibly 120. I don't know when he came back. But I do believe that Jesus did not let this kid go. I don't believe that for one second. I believe that he had a heart for the Lord and God said, okay, no problem. And I believe as he walked away, Jesus says, he doesn't know he's walking away from me. I have the answer. A relationship with me will change it. And so, Father, please, won't you just set him free? Release some angels to kind of minister to him and get him patched up and bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back. You have got some in your circle of friends, relatives, enemies, whatever. And the Lord lays them on your heart. Don't let them go. Don't just flush them down the toilet. You know, somebody didn't flush you down. Somebody picked you up. Somebody loved you when you weren't very lovely. Amen? Verse 28, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things," you better pay attention to verse 28, "at the renewal of all things," at the renewal, what does renew mean? But to put back what was lost. Now, if I would have been in Peter's shoes, I would have looked at it, well, now, when you know, the renewer of all things is here already. The Messiah is here. I mean, I already know he's the Messiah. God the Father showed me. Amen? And he would have that expectation that everything would be renewed then. Did it happen then? Did Peter get everything renewed then? Did Peter get everything renewed when he was by the lake? No. Is Peter still waiting? Yeah. It says in the book of Hebrews that the saints are waiting for us, for the renewal of all things. and the perfection of all things. Why? Did you ever ask God why? Did you ever get nosy with Him? If you haven't gotten nosy, get nosy. Knock on His door. Say, Lord, I want to know. Why is this great cloud of witnesses that we are surrounded by waiting to be perfected at the renewal of all things? Why? Because there's a day of perfection that's around the corner for the body of Christ. And God's going to do it on His way, not yours or mine. And He will renew them as well as us at the same time in the twinkling of an eye. When the trump is pulled out, there's going to be such an awesome change in the human race. Why? Because we're not going to be just human. We're going to be eternal. Yes. And it's not going to stop. It's going to be awesome. I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or children, or fields, for My sake, will receive 100 times as much, and it will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. I'm going to let it go because I think you need to ponder and seek what He's trying to tell you. And a hunger, I pray, will come alive in you to really look and say, am I ready for that renewal day? Am I prepared for what is going to manifest through me? You know, God allowed me to pray for a lady yesterday. Prayed for several people, but there was one particular lady that she was outstanding, and God had actually brought her to me as I was in the parking lot and I was coming out. And I was going to be entering the church. And she was very well attired. And she had this ring on left hand, big ring, loaded with beautiful little stones that were very reflective and very attractive. And as I was interceding and praying for her, the Holy Spirit had me focus on the stone for a half a minute. And I waited and I said, Lord, what do You want me to tell this lady? And He said, let her look at it right now. So I kind of took her hand and put it in front of her eyes, and I said, I want you to see the sparkles from all the different cuts that are in these gems. I said, if you had one glimpse of your spirit, it would outshine this little stone. If you had one glimpse of who you really are in Christ, your whole demeanor would change. Father, give them a hunger to see who they are in Christ. Give them a hunger to get a vision of what they look like to You, of how they reflect Your light, how they reflect Your colors, how they reflect Your beauty, how they are really, really men and women that are loaded with light, giving it out to all others that they get in touch with and that they encounter. Continue, Father, to bless these that You have given us to teach, to counsel, and to love. And let them be pouring out what they reflect to others, so that Your people